of mine has no interest.
Meeting will come to order. Today is Friday, February 24th. For the record, we do have a quorum. This is the Reform and Redesign Subcommittee. We have on the agenda today just two items. We have an update from the department on SWIFT, and I'm sure that they will move along swiftly. Not that we have any kind of time pressure, but it's a good morning for bad puns. Commissioner?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. SWIFT, the statewide integrated financial tools, and very happy to be back and give you a briefing on that. With me at the table is Lori Moe, Assistant Commissioner at MMB, and Tracy Hatch, CFO at the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Taking my place in just 1 minute is Jim Mannion, Project Manager for the SWIFT team. I just wanted to give you a quick overview because I'll probably say some things they would never say about the SWIFT project, and sort of give you a transition to what this project is, because it is really a large, multi-year business transformation project that sometimes you sort of think about it as a technology project, and it is. And sometimes you might think about it as a human resources or human project, and it is. It is not a single agency effort. It is not just an MMB effort. It is an MMB, an admin, an OET-led effort, but we have partners and very, very strong partners from MnDOT, from DHS, from DEED, and other agencies. It is a effort that has far-reaching impact. If you go out into the hallways of most any of the back-office operations in state agencies, you will see the training efforts, the processing and the planning efforts that have been going on for the last couple of years, and it's an important thing. I wanted to sing the praises of SWIFT as well, just because, you know, frankly, this is a high-risk enterprise. This is a high-risk, not enterprises in the state, but high-risk activity. A conversion of an ERP is not an easy thing. Large Fortune 500 companies have tried it and failed. Public entities have tried it and failed. Cost overruns, time delays are commonplace. And the fact that despite some of the barriers that we've had to go through, you would certainly not design this so that you end up having your consultants sold to another vendor mid-project. You would certainly not design this so that your administration completely replaces itself with a transition in the executive branch midstream. And you probably would not plan for a state shutdown as you're about to go live. Yet, with all of those issues...
Commissioner, I have a bill for that.
Good. But despite all of those barriers, I think just the efforts of the state team and our private sector consultants, but particularly the state team, has just been dogged in making this work. And I just want you to understand, from my perspective, the amazing amount of effort and hours that Lori and Tracy and Jim and I could keep on going for about 5 minutes. Some of the people who have just really put their heart and soul, their weekends, their nights into this project for the last year. And it's only because of that we went up live on July 1. It's only because of that that the process of taking problems, and there's a lot of them, but taking those problems and addressing them one by one in very specific ways and solving them and moving on to the next issue, it's only because of that that I think we've got a functioning system right now. When it's getting better, it's not done. We've still got some runway ahead of us, but it's certainly on the right path. So I just want to help give you a little context, because this has been a huge effort. It's been largely under the radar for most people. But I think it's one that I really appreciate the committee taking a look at today. So I'm going to turn that over to Lori Moe for the presentation and invite Jim up to the table if you have no questions for me, Mr. Chair. Okay, good.
Ms. Moe?
Mr. Chair, thank you. For the record, my name is Lori Moe. Thank you for inviting us to talk about the SWIFT project today. What we're going to do is give you some background on the project. Some of you may not have heard us talk about this initiative before. Describe the agency impacts, update you on the current status, and then talk about the activities that will be before us in the coming months. The acronym SWIFT stands for Statewide Integrated Financial Tools, and it really is the backbone of our financial management infrastructure, providing statewide accounting and procurement applications. SWIFT is a fully integrated commercial off-the-shelf software package. It provides a vendor-delivered product to process, track, and report on our accounting and procurement activity. This is the system that tracks all of our revenues, that makes payments to program recipients, payments to school districts, vendors, and other business partners of the state. It contains the information for agency management, for preparing our comprehensive financial statements, for staying in compliance with federal reporting requirements, and for making decisions statewide. With the installation of these modules, for the first time, we're operating all of our statewide administrative systems on a common, fully integrated software. That brings efficiencies for users in a common look and feel across modules, a common tool set for our technical staff supporting the system, a regular maintenance and upgrade path that's provided by the vendor as part of our support and maintenance agreement. The project was a major statewide undertaking. As the commissioner described, we've had a big team working on this, and it's been more than a two-year effort. We had at MMB a project team of over 100 people working on this for the last 2 years, and then there's been considerable effort at all of the impacted state agencies. Many of them formed their own project teams for the implementation effort. They participated in early planning activities. Over the last 30 months, they completed dozens of configuration assignments throughout the implementation. These included interface work, security decisions, training work. As I said, there were dozens. 10 of the largest agencies stepped up and were our partners in the training effort. They provided trainers and went through a train-the-trainer program and were able to provide more customized training for their individual agency requirements. They've had to modify their business practices, and they've learned the new software. And there has been a significant learning curve with learning both the new processes and the new tools. I just can't emphasize enough the scope of the impact that this has had on state agencies and how critical to the implementation their full participation was. In addition to the individual agency implementation efforts, we've also had active participation in both an executive and in a steering committee that assisted with making project decisions. One of the participants in our executive committee is Tracy Hatch, who's with us here today. She is the CFO at the Department of Transportation, and I'd like to introduce her and let you hear some remarks from her about the impacts of the SWIFT system at the Department of Transportation.
Before that, Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair, do you want us to ask questions when the presentation's over or during?
I think if it's pertinent to the particular page or topic, jump right in, certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Chair. Bonner. Being that I'm not familiar with SWIFT, this is the first time I've encountered it, although I've heard so much about it. So, for example, as you talked about the transition in the cash, says 146,000 cash deposits, you've converted these vendors. Could you talk about what that actually means? So, for example, would the SWIFT system identify if you were paying one price to a vendor for one thing and then another price for a similar thing to another vendor? I mean, what kind of interactivity does this software system provide in terms of analytics?
Mr. Chairman, members, we have implemented the system in two stages, and part of the second phase of the implementation includes a data warehouse solution that's delivered by the vendor. That will include a suite of business intelligence and analytic tools. So while not all of that has been delivered yet today, there will be significantly more information available to users for business analytics. Much of the enhanced procurement functionality is also in phase two, and so there will be additional information available for spend analysis and decision making related to procurement.
Just a follow up, Ms. Mo. Sure. So then, when, in terms of phase two, when will that start and when will it be implemented?
Ms. Mo.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we'll be covering this in a few slides, but the short answer is there are some maintenance activities that will be going on in the spring time frame. The procurement functionality enhancements will be rolled out primarily in the second half of the calendar year, and then the data warehouse elements are going to be rolled out in phases. Currently, there are some payroll-related elements available. The next major component is the general ledger and commitment control, budgetary controls. That will happen in the June timeframe, and the final pieces of that will be rolled out about a year from now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hatch?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tracy Hatch. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. My comments here are simply to address kind of the impact that SWIFT has had on state agencies. And I can't stress enough, as was previously mentioned, that this was not just an MMB effort. Clearly, they were the lead agency in this project, and they have provided a great deal of technical expertise and leadership in terms of project management and so forth. But as Ms. Mo mentioned, it has taken a lot of additional resources on the part of state agencies to implement this at their individual agency. Some of the functionality that is included in SWIFT was not included in MAPS previously. And just to kind of give you a short list of some of the functionality that is now comprehensive in SWIFT is things such as general ledger, budget, accounts payable, accounts receivable, electronic procurement, strategic sourcing, supplier contracts, vendor maintenance, electronic supplier integration, citizens portal, and three of the pieces that are kind of most critical to MnDOT are the consumable inventory module, fixed asset management. We have approximately 90% of the state assets are owned by MnDOT, so this has been a huge effort for us. And again, a very significant effort for us and has taken a great deal of help and support from the SWIFT project team is the implementation of federal billing at MnDOT. We previously had billed through MAPS, but using a subsystem. And so the options essentially were to either do what most states do and have the Department of Transportation not be part of the statewide system, which no one thought was a good idea. But typically, DOTs are so complex in terms of their billing and their process that most states simply decide that they can't accommodate them. I'm pleased to say that that's not the case for Minnesota, and we are part of the SWIFT system. And so in order to replace the subsystem that we had, that we did our federal billing in, it took a significant effort, both on the part of MnDOT and MMB and the project team. Again, the coordination and the complexity of the system, simply because of the complexity, the coordination was necessary. And we have had great success, I think, as a state and certainly as an agency in recognizing and leveraging the benefits of that coordination, whether it be from the training aspect or simply from trying to articulate our needs at an agency level and then work to find a solution with the state team on how to address that. MnDOT specifically has a significant multitude of funding sources, and many of them are federally designated in small pockets of money, and there's extreme detailed cost allocation on all of our projects, so... You know, pricing is a big deal, and cost allocation is a big deal. In the system, we converted, in some cases, 30 years worth of data, and we balanced it to within $17. So, billions of dollars balanced within $17. I mean, that mind-boggling to me.
I think that's better than my checkbook.
Yeah, sure.
Senator Brent,
you have billions of dollars.
Were you over or under?
Mr.
Chair, Senator. I actually am not even sure. I'm sure I knew at one point, but then I heard $17, and I thought, good enough. I'll pay for it if we're under. I'll just write a check for it. but again, that was 30 years worth of data and a significant effort on both the SWIFT team and the MnDOT team working nights and weekends, what we affectionately call volunteering for the state for the greater good. We also, part of the complexity was that we expanded the number of users because all of the additional functionality in SWIFT that was not in MAPS previously, we expanded the number of users in MnDOT out of necessity from 250 users in MAPS to over 1,000 users now in SWIFT. And so, again, the training effort was monumental. The internal control effort remains certainly something we're working through and I think doing a very good job at managing. But one of the really good things of this whole process is that it brought an opportunity for us to really take a look at our business processes and make some important changes. And I think we've got a number of wins. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to articulate a few of them for you today. As I mentioned earlier, we eliminated the need for a number of side systems. We have created kind of an ability to review all of the grants process, at least through MnDOT, and we have been able to standardize that process and streamline it in a number of cases. We expect in the phase two functionality to get some additional workflows to help with that process, and we are very much looking forward to that. That will reduce paper routing and paper processing and things like that. It will be electronic, and we'll really be reaping a lot of benefits from that. In terms of application replacements, we have actually retired or replaced 6 complete individual business applications. And two huge applications for us was our consumable inventory application and our fixed asset application. We continue to work towards replacement of an additional 12 applications once the system is fully integrated approximately a year from now. And we've also modified 5 parts of applications so that instead of having to do data entry in both the financial system and a side subsystem, now we're downloading data directly from SWIFT. So again, in our view, that has been a significant win in terms of duplication of effort and an efficiency at MnDOT. We've also developed and implemented 19 system interfaces in addition to those 5 applications so that data is usable in MnDOT for other purposes and downloaded directly from SWIFT. So again, getting a lot of gains from the data and the comprehensive data that's in SWIFT. So with that, I just want to thank you for your time and your willingness to listen to our comments.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like a lot of efficiencies in MnDOT there. And I just want to commend you on that. And I also am wondering if you can in some way quantify the dollar savings that have been achieved.
Mr. Chair, Senator, we are... Today, I'm not able to articulate exactly what those dollars are, especially because, again, we're working through the complexity of the system right now. I don't know that we would be able to say that overall there's been a significant savings. There is a significant efficiency, but again, with training and with taking people a little longer to figure out how to operate the system and to work with the system, some timing things. I don't know that I'd be able to quantify that with a number. I can quantify that with business process, with paperwork flowing smoother, with things getting accomplished and getting done. I can also tell you that at MnDOT in particular, we are looking at efficiencies kind of as a whole and really trying to articulate and to document efficiencies throughout the agency, not just as it relates to SWIFT, but in a number of ways. So this is definitely something that we are working on and is on our radar, and we hope to have a number to address that. I don't happen to have it today.
Thank you.
I'll just ask, specific to the work that you did, were there any significant hiccups and were you able to get through them? Are you still working through them?
Mr. Chair, I hear Commissioner Showalter laughing. I'll address one major hiccup that we had. And again, that was related to our federal billing. The federal billing, excuse me, as I mentioned, is extremely complicated. I had worked at 3 other state agencies before I came to MnDOT, and I thought, oh, this whole MnDOT thing, this is going to be a breeze. It's different. It's just so different. And the federal billing component in particular is very complex. And the SWIFT team started working with the vendor, I want to say maybe November of last, so a year ago this past November. And there were some source code changes that needed to be made on the Oracle side, and in order to implement some things. And as we got into testing, we realized that it wasn't, you know, the deliverable from the vendor wasn't working properly. And the back and forth, long story short, it took many months. And in fact, when we went live in July, we did not have authority to bill FHWA at that time. This was no small matter to MnDOT and also no small matter to the SWIFT team and to MNB, and I think both teams really pulled out all the stops to try to get this to happen. The MnDOT team worked very hard on trying to put cost allocation pieces in place so we could collect and calculate the costs so that when we did get approval from FHWA to bill, we could do that. MNB worked very hard and kind of kept on pace with Oracle and with the vendor to make sure that they were continuing to work on the problem and deliver it and continued to test. So that was a major hiccup for us, if you will. I'm very happy to say that as part of the federal billing, any state that makes significant changes to their accounting systems, it's a requirement that FHWA come in and spend a week, and there's a big list of specific requirements, and we put a lot of documentation together to walk through them and demonstrate to them that the system did perform and would be able to accurately calculate the federal portion of the spending. And I'm pleased to say that that occurred in October, and or rather I should say the last week in September. And then in October we submitted our first bill to FHWA, but the FHWA auditors said that it was the smoothest review that they'd ever done, and instead of 5 days, they did it in four. Typically, many times states don't pass that initial review and have to correct a few things and then subsequently get approval. We passed. They told us we passed before they walked out of the room. We had one finding, and I believe it was 15 observations. The finding was corrected within a couple of weeks, but did not hold us up from billing. And in early October, we submitted our first federal bill in SWIFT. And that, I think, has been a significant win. I know I started sleeping a lot better once October came, and we were able to bill. But that was a significant effort on the part of both agencies.
Senator Bonnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hatch, can you tell us whether or not, as part of the conversion, is the consumer interface around driver and vehicle services a piece of that, or is that completely separate?
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'm going to have to refer that to Ms. Moe. Actually, driver and vehicle services is no longer a part of the Department of Transportation. That change happened a few years back, gotcha. And that is part of the Department of Public Safety, I believe, at this point. So
thank
I wouldn't
you.
Be able to speak to that today.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where is DOT right now in the process of its internal controls audit? I mean, when was the last one you did happened, and what... how many findings were there, and have they been corrected? And what are the difficulties that SWIFT has posed with regard to, and I know I've met with Ms. Moe on some of this, but has SWIFT posed for internal controls? And, you know, I laud the efficiencies, but not... not at the expense of having loopholes where employees can steal $1 million like they've done before.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Senator, that is an excellent question.
It's the only one I usually ask.
Well, internal controls are very much a part of my daily life, and again, that is the topic I'm losing sleep over these days now that we're able to bill FHWA. I would say a couple of things. I would say that in terms of MnDOT internal controls in general, we have embarked on a pretty good, I believe, foundational review of internal controls at MnDOT. We've set up an internal control governance board, which is senior leadership, which includes myself, the other assistant commissioners, as well as our chief counsel and our audit director. We meet quarterly, and we meet also more frequently than that as needed if an issue comes up, such as a finding on an audit. We also have undertaken risk assessments, a risk assessment process. We're working very closely with the Internal Control and Accountability Unit at MMB and have meetings with them what feels like weekly or every other week, and they're providing a great deal of guidance and direction to us. We have completed a year ago, a little over a year ago, we completed an initial internal control environment assessment and are in the process right now of updating that. But we've done a number of follow-ups for either documentation that we didn't think was properly in place or could have been strengthened or questions that came up out of that initial review. And so we've been working very hard for the last year on that, and we will be submitting to MMB another revision of that here coming up in the next couple of months. We are actually bringing a consultant on board that is from an audit firm to help us. One of the challenges we have is just the manpower to accomplish this. And with the legislative session now in force, some of the staff that I had working on this more full-time are really focused on doing fiscal notes and things like that. So needing a few additional resources, we have we're working to get a consultant on board, and we will have at the end of this fiscal year a comprehensive internal control plan for MnDOT, which will include a both kind of a history of where we've been as well as a plan, project plan, timelines for the additional pieces that are still to come. And again, we're rolling this out in concert with the MMB internal controls unit and kind of trying to keep on pace with that. To specifically address your question about findings that we've received, we have received two findings recently. One was on, again, the fact that the risk assessments weren't completed at this point. A little bit of background on that is that in 2009, when the legislature first passed the internal control legislation, we had intended to hire a consultant at that time to do the risk assessments and to write the plan for us and so forth. In the meantime, there have been a number of, you know, really good reasons, in my opinion, of why that didn't get completed that first year. One of the reasons was we did not want to get ahead of where the other state agencies were. And right now, quite frankly, I feel like we're a little bit falling behind of where some of the other agencies are. But we were afraid of kind of putting a lot of investment in and then having to go back and rework because we had done it a different way than other agencies. So for that reason, we delayed. We also had a number of changes in senior leadership, a number of CFOs in the last few years. I'm hoping that trend is over. I just don't know. But
that's not a good reason.
But you're right. That is not a good reason. But we did have, in the interim, is when we started that Internal Control Governance Board. So we had that board that provided leadership to the effort, as well as a project manager that did not change. That was the same project manager. About a year ago, we decided to continue on with the control environment tool evaluations and to delay some of the risk assessments. We did a lot of prep work for the risk assessments and process documentation, but to delay them until the SWIFT implementation occurred, with the thought that if we did a whole-scale risk assessment process and then all the processes changed, that we would have to go back and recomplete that work. So in terms of official process documentation for the risk assessments, we're doing that now. And that was specifically what the finding was on, that we had not made significant progress from last year in terms of numbers of risk assessments completed because of that reason. And while it's still proposed a finding, the finding did not include all of the other work that we have done. So we maybe didn't have a number of risk assessments I could lay before the auditor, but we had a number of other work that we did and in fact, have done a great deal of work in terms of documenting processes, documenting internal control issues, noticing where there might be internal control issues, and providing mitigating fixes for those. So my comment about a change in leadership and my comments about not about having a finding and not having it completed does not in any way, I hope, imply that we have not taken it seriously or that we are allowing gaps to continue. We have made a significant number of, informal or internal administrative process changes and reviews to ensure that we are not leaving significant gaps or gaps unaddressed. We are also doing a comprehensive enterprise risk management effort at MnDOT, and so the risk assessments are a part of that process as well. The second finding, if I might just add for clarification, the second finding we received recently on the audit report, the financial statement audit report, was related to a And I the specifics are failing me, but essentially there was a miscoding of assets. There was an asset that was coded in the wrong category and should have been picked up in the proper category. It wasn't. It wasn't that we didn't report it or that there was an ability for fraud or abuse to have taken place. In this particular instance, it was miscategorized, and we have since put a process in place to make sure we've got duplicate reviews, and we expect that to not happen again.
Senator Rest.
Thank you. Commissioner Moe, are you satisfied with the progress that DOT has made in the area of internal controls?
Commissioner?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest. I have...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Would you just please state your name for the record so that 5 years from now when someone is listening to this, they know who's talking.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is Lori Moe again. Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I believe DOT has made a significant effort to make progress on those issues.
So I ask that so that I know where the buck stops.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Moe, could you address the question I asked previously with regard to are we using the SWIFT system for the consumer interface? Do you know?
Madam Chair, Senator,
you are going to pay for your driver's license, renew tab, is there a connection between the SWIFT system and working with the consumer?
Mr. Chair, Senator, there is a couple of components to that program. The SWIFT system certainly does have interfaces with the financial side of the transaction for agencies that are accepting credit card transactions online. There is an interface with the SWIFT system. But as for the program side of that application, I can't respond to that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Senator Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question as far as the future rollout. Ms. Moe, you mentioned that there's additional, I think the word was not modules, I think you used a different term, coming applications, maybe 12 applications or something. And I'm questioning, is there an increased cost? Are these particular applications or particular additional pieces of SWIFT that will need to be purchased? That's my first question.
Mr. Chair, Senator, the functionality that's included in the second phase of the project was part of the original contract. The software was purchased in the summer of 2009 in the initial plans for the project, and the contract with our implementation vendor is a fixed-price contract that includes that portion of the functionality. So that is not an additional expenditure.
Okay, thank you. Then I don't have another question.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, as a legislator, I'm not sure how this impacts me, but if you could talk a little bit, we do go through the budgeting process. We get the huge reports where we see improvements, efficiencies, and flexibility in our reporting. Will we see changes because of the SWIFT program?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the SWIFT system contains the historical data for financial activity, and that is used to load the budget system as a base moving forward. The current SWIFT system did not replace the budget system functionality.
Okay. All right, members, if we don't have any other questions, Mr. Mannion's been sitting there just
patiently waiting, Mr. Chairman.
Chair. And Mr. Mannion.
Are you done there,
Mr. Mr. Chair, if I could just point out on slides 5, 6, and 7, there is some information on how we got to this point, why we decided to undertake this major project. I won't spend time on it today, but for the members here who have not heard our earlier presentations, I'd be happy to answer questions later.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I was not feeling slighted to wait here. I'd be happy to do that. I'm going to kind of pick up the conversation. For the record, again, I'm Jim Mannion. I'm the program director for the SWIFT project. I'm going to pick up the conversation on slide 8 if you'd like to follow along with me. Some of the background information as well as what's been going on. The SWIFT project set up a help desk that's available for all of the state agencies to call if they have questions or concerns or comments or even recommended enhancements. We've received over 10,000 calls through the help desk. About 95% of them are resolved. We do push forward a couple hundred on a week-to-week basis, and they close them out, and a new 200 comes forward. We also do a lot of publishing of different update information. I've identified here frequently asked questions, some of the quick reference guides, how you do grants, how you do bilateral netting, lots of information that the agencies find helpful. These little guides, I think, have been very popular. As an example, I believe in your handout you have one of the deployment updates that was sent out, and it looked like this document here. And what this is it's a document that the SWIFT Enterprise Readiness Team sends out, usually on a weekly basis, sometimes more frequently. It identifies, in particular in this one, the different learning or training opportunities that are available for the different agencies if they have some particular problem. And it also identifies more quick reference guides, different hints and tips and tricks and things like this that you can use to improve the utilization of the SWIFT application. So I'm not going to go through that, but it's just one of the many things that we send out. The distribution list on this one is a roughly 5,000 email addresses, so it's got very wide dissemination. The SWIFT website itself, there is a website out there. The bold characters on the bottom identify what the website is. If you have an opportunity, I'd encourage you to go look at it. There's a lot of very useful information out there that the agencies can use. And I talk about the hits here on this. There's roughly 18,000 hits against that website back in the month of August of last year, shortly after the system went live. We're getting around 7,500 hits on a month-to-month basis. So very widely used. We find that very helpful. That's been in place now for almost 2.5 years. It was put in place in order to give people advance warning of the SWIFT application as to what was going to happen. Then it was also out there to help them after we went through the post-implementation period. On slide 9.
Just a second. Senator Nelson has a question.
Mr. Chair, I don't seem to have a copy of that deployment update. Is that supposed to be in our packets?
You're correct. We do not have a copy of that.
You did not have that?
If you'd like one, I think he's got a hard copy. We can send someone.
I'd be happy to give you mine, ma'am.
I'd be glad to look at it. Thank you.
I'm going to get that. Yeah, I just brought the one, unless there's more over there.
Continue,
Mr. Chairman. Pardon?
Continue.
Okay, thank you. I was going to mention there are 35 different SWIFT courses that we have trained over 2,750 state employees. That was primarily prior to the go-live. We are continuing to do so. We continue to offer additional classes. Ms. Moe and Ms. Hatch identified the 10 train the trainer agencies, of which MnDOT is one of them. That was also another approach we used to training and disseminating information on how the SWIFT application would function. And as bottom line, talks about some additional classes that we're going to offer. I'd like to spend a couple of minutes, if I may, talking about some of the process changes that occurred as a result of the SWIFT implementation. The first one is the financial applications implemented something called workflow. In the past, when you were going to, for example, approve an invoice and had to go through the approval process, you'd manually create a document, you'd print it out, you'd mail it to the next person, or you'd hand it to the next person, they'd sign it, etc. Workflow is an electronic method of processing the approval process for a variety of documents. It's heavily utilized in the financial application. It is definitely a performance improvement objective of the system. The security, Ms. Hatch talked a lot about security. There is enhanced security capability within the SWIFT application. It is at a much lower level than the old map system. You can do it literally down at the field level as opposed to the past system, which was a level above that. SWIFT also has the ability to provide drill-down capability. Drill-down basically means you can bring up a screen in the SWIFT application. If you want to find out more information, you click on the box on the screen. It brings you down to the next level. You can click again, go down another level, et cetera, all the way down usually to the transactional level. So that has been very positively received by the different agencies because it provides them information much faster than it could get before. There is a standard inventory system that SWIFT has implemented. Ms. Hatch again mentioned that they did that for the MnDOT organization. We're also planning on implementing that in additional agencies. And again, it avoids them having to buy their own inventory system or to continue to use one of their old ones. SWIFT has something called the Enterprise Learning Management application. It's basically an additional module that was added to the SWIFT project that allows agencies to set up classes, make offers of what classes are available out there. You can register using the ELM product, and you can also track the attendance on it. That was another saving, I believe, to the MnDOT organization. At one point in time, they were looking to purchase their own separate ELM-type product. Instead, they made, I think, the wise decision to use the ELM product instead, thereby saving the state some money. There is something in SWIFT called vendor self-registration. It used to be that the vendors would often get mailings going back and forth when they wanted to register to bid on some of the state's solicitations that are out there. The vendor registration process now is basically automated. It uses the web-based application. The vendors come in, they register, they get a password, and they're able to look at the solicitations that are there, they're able to bid on them, and they also can look at their payment transactions as well. That particular application gets around 8,000 to 15,000 hits per day for vendors out there. So it's got a lot of usage. And I don't know if we mentioned it, I think it was one of the earlier slides, the state has over 200,000 vendors. So you can kind of do the math. We have a lot of activity in here. The last bullet on slide 11 talks about strategic sourcing. The state of Minnesota strategic sourcing is a term that is primarily used by, obviously the procurement organizations. It's for procurement over $10,000. And those particular things used to be sent out via what we called snail mail, the old U.S. Postal Service, the mailbox. They'd mail the letters out to the different strategic sourcing vendors. Today, the majority of those are starting to go out by email, saving the state, I think, considerable postage costs. So that was another improvement, I guess, as part of the implementation of SWIFT. Slide 12, we talk about the SWIFT application itself. SWIFT is a what they refer to as a 24/7 system. It runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The old MAPS system, if you wanted to do transactions in MAPS, it would run, I believe, from 7 in the morning till 6 at night. And then it would shut down and would do background batch processing. SWIFT doesn't do that. SWIFT runs 24 hours a day. If you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you want to put some transaction in there, SWIFT will be ready for you to do that. It's batch processing, or a lot of its updates occur in the background. So, again, it increases the flexibility of the state resources. So what are we doing going forward? Well, we've got some challenges in increasing the processing of the system. We'd like to improve its performance. We are obviously looking at the batch cycle, this background process I was talking about, as well as some of the online transactions to make that run faster. And we're doing so by working with our own internal IT resources. We're working with our prime contractor. And we're also bringing in Oracle. If I did not mention it, Oracle owns the PeopleSoft product. They bought PeopleSoft back in 2005. So we sometimes confuse people. We talk about Oracle and PeopleSoft, but they're really kind of the same thing. So probably a good thing to mention that. But we are working with Oracle to to address some of the ongoing issues that we have. And Oracle has designated the state of Minnesota as a critical site, which means that they give us increased attention. They're very interested in making sure that this project remains successful and are contributing resources to help us with that, including engagement from their senior management. So, again, we work all the angles on this one. We want to make sure that we deliver, you know, a quality product.
Mr. Mannion, Senator Benson, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mannion, you mentioned processing a transaction at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Did you want to get up and do that?
And, no. I guess that led me to the question, are the employees seeing significant benefits? Are they able to have a more flexible work day? Can they telecommute? Can you talk briefly about some of the benefits, or anyone else at the table, if the employees beyond the evenings and weekends, are they now seeing some positive results?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, if I could answer that. The availability of the systems 24/7, I think the biggest impact is on our 24-hour operations. Probably one of the best examples I can think of is at the Department of Transportation, where some of the truck stations are in operation and need to pull parts out of inventory for a broken snowplow at 3 in the morning. And they're able to process that transaction and maintain those current records. If there are flex schedule opportunities down the road, I think that's a possibility. I haven't heard of that at this stage. I guess a point I'll make for agencies is that there's been a steep learning curve with this system, and we're making progress on that, but the probably some of those benefits haven't really been explored yet at this point.
Mr. Mannion, were okay. You done?
Just a couple more comments, Mr. Chairman. There is something on the last slide talking about the maintenance pack. One of the advantages of SWIFT is it is a commercial off-the-shelf package, which Ms. Moe talked about. So the support for this application, the upgrades, the maintenance issues are provided by our vendor. And we are in the process of looking at implementing, testing and implementing some of these maintenance packs, and we want to do that. So that's something the state does have to pay for. It comes as part of our normal contract agreement with the vendor. And then, of course, the last bullet there that we haven't talked about is the fiscal year-end close is coming. This will be our first time to do that. That is something that we are clearly looking at right now, and we'll be communicating out to the agencies some of the rules and requirements for that.
Commissioner Moe.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add a couple of comments, and then this, that will conclude our prepared remarks, and we're happy to answer more questions. I just want to say the last 2 years have been a huge effort, and a great deal has been accomplished. But we certainly recognize that we have a lot of work ahead of us. The maintenance work that Mr. Mannion mentioned, continuing to address issues, working with Oracle to address delivered issues, doing system tuning, and in addition to the second phase work. So the coming year will continue to be busy and will continue to be challenging, but we look forward to working with our partner agencies in completing that work.
Commissioner, is there a target date for phase two?
Mr. Chairman, yes. There are a number of target dates as will be rolled. The initial implementation for phase one was a big bang approach on July 1st of this year at the start of a biennium, at the start of a fiscal year for the core financial processes. The remaining components are not tied to a July 1 implementation date, so they will be rolled out in phases over the coming year. The first task at hand will be, and is already underway, will be the maintenance pack installation, and that and simultaneously with that, the preparation for the fiscal year end. And so that's what the team will be focusing on during the spring time frame. After the fiscal year closed, then the rollout of the phase two procurement functionality will happen throughout the fall. And the warehouse reporting solution will be rolled out in five or six phases between June and about a year from now.
Okay. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for being late. I was at a chamber breakfast. But if you've already answered this question, I'll ask it offline. But did anyone bring up the topic of integration? We have the IT consolidation, and how does this huge IT program fit in with the whole consolidation? Did we already talk about that? I'd kind of like to hear how that plan is working, and is that enough? Let you talk.
Sure, Mr. Chairman, Senator, the system, the SWIFT system, is supported technically primarily by the technical team at MMB. They support all of the statewide administrative systems, which includes not only the financial and procurement and warehouse applications that we've been talking about today, but also the human resources, payroll, and benefits administration systems. Those technical employees have historically reported to MMB as part of the IT consolidation. They have transitioned to the Office of Enterprise Technology. I will say from my perspective that we continue to be strong partners with them, and they are supporting the system as they were before the transition.
The question I have is, could you explain a little bit what the phase two part of the procurement, what will be changed in the procurement process in phase two?
Can I answer that?
Commissioner? Or Mr. Mannion?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, the phase two part is primarily in the procurement area. One example of that is workflow for procurement. We decided about a year ago not to implement workflow for procurement, but only for the financial side. The workflow in itself is a complicated, change-driven process. It takes a little while to get used to it, so we delayed that one. So we will implement that as part of phase two. There are other areas in there, some of them dealing with strategic sourcing. We're going to enhance some of that for the procurement process. There is some components in there dealing with contracting, how to automate that as well. A lot of it is important stuff to the procurement organization, but it's also very change-driven, so we decided to phase it in instead of doing it all at once.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. If we don't have any more questions, thank you very much for your time and for the thorough presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Daley wants to talk to us again about Senate File 933.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members, Senate File 933. I'll just refresh everyone's memory. We discussed this last week in great detail. So just want to remind folks that just a little bit about the background. Let me get my notes here. Start with the slide that I shared with folks. I don't know if it's still in your packet, but the before scenario is that we have silos in each of the agencies. Silos meaning each agency does the functions of the programs, the back office, and the OET or IT in each agency. And with the efforts, before I even go any further, I just got to say thank you to these folks and what they've done. That is just phenomenal. The amount of work, the planning, the design, the implementation, all the years of effort that's gone into it, it's just amazing. And it's brought us from the 20th century into the 21st century. Add on to what they've done, the OET consolidation, still in progress. Both SWIFT and OET are still in progress. But it's the the core argument I have for taking the next step. All these overlapping and redundant functions haven't all been eliminated, but we've made great progress and great strides to reduce that overlapping and redundant function in each of the agencies. And so instead of the silos that we have had, we now have a phenomenal ERP system, an enterprise resource system with SWIFT across all agencies. We've got OET consolidation providing, through the Department of Administration, superb IT back out to each of the agencies. And I'm suggesting that we just take that next step and do the back office consolidation for accounting, for payroll, for HR, lots of these back office functions, which don't add any value to our citizen. What's important in Department of Transportation is, you know, our roads and our bridges. What's important in HHS is the healthcare delivery to our citizens. A check is a check is a check. Writing that check is the same in each of these agencies, and by consolidating it, we can save a lot of money, we can find lots of great efficiencies, and save a lot of money. And to our citizens, it looks the same. We can focus more of our taxpayer dollars on the programs then. So last week we talked about some of the concerns that were expressed. Two of them specifically were the benchmarking and the timeline. And I've taken some efforts this last week to meet with Commissioner Kronk and his team to talk about benchmarking. I have the A3 amendment I'd like to discuss. I don't want to move it yet because I want to have the discussion to make sure that the components in it are right, that we feel that this is complete, comprehensive, and it's the right direction, the right amount of money, and the right timeline with it. Actually, when I looked at it, the timeline of January 15th, 2013 seemed a little bit too far out. I think I see Senator Bonhoff nodding her head. I think that based on the discussions we've had, the vendors could provide that in perhaps 6 months, they suggested, so we could do that even sooner and continue our efforts with design and some other aspects of what we're looking at here. The benchmarking, the timeline, just looking at my notes, wanted to make sure I covered each thing. I reached out to Minsky, Senator Sharon. You'll be happy to know that I talked to Colin Doherty, the Associate Vice Chancellor of Finance, and we're going to meet next week. I'd invite anyone who wants to go over to MCTC, to Harmon Place, to see what they're doing at Minsky with their what they call Campus Service Cooperative. We call it Shared Services. That's another term for it. But I think there are some great things that we could learn with what they're already doing there. So I haven't had an opportunity to meet with them since we last talked, but I do plan on going over there. And as this bill moves back to state government and it travels along its way, we can continue to work on it, incorporate our learnings along the way. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for any questions.
Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair. Senator Daley, thank you for including the school district benchmark study on your A3. That's great. So a couple questions. One is, is it really that expensive to do the two, $390,000? I know I'm am in the process of drafting a bill to study strategic sourcing of school transportation, and it seemed as though the range of pricing I got was less than that, so I'm wondering about where that number comes from. It does seem high to me. And then the other question I had, I'm concerned about I believe in the benchmark approach. I think that's a perfect step one. I'm concerned about the rigidness of saying everything gets transferred by a certain date and the original bill without doing some kind of a test to make sure it's going to work. So would it make sense to pick, you know, a couple agencies or three agencies functionalities and test moving that to see what works, what doesn't work? Again, we talked about last session to have in law such a broad and sweeping reorg without having done the analytics first is still a little bit of a concern. I wonder what the Commissioner of Admin thinks about that.
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonhoff, members, first the dollars part of your question. It was an estimate that was provided to me. It's certainly something we can discuss and change It was initially provided to me at $500,000.
Oh.
And what I found out is each component is perhaps around $80,000. I'm told there are three major components that we would need, so that's $240,000. And then once that benchmarking study is provided to us, there may be some implementation, some other guidance and more than just discussions, but what do we do with that to take the next step? So there's a $120,000 provided for a large number of consulting services to help us move to the next phase of that.
I see.
So the second aspect of the question, to test to see if it will work, to do a beta test, to do a few agencies. If this, what I would just suggest you consider is that if we were starting from scratch and we hadn't done the SWIFT implementation, we had done nothing, then I would say you're right on. I totally agree. But we've done, we haven't completed the SWIFT implementation, but we are well into it. And we've spent a number of years making superb efforts with that. I would also suggest that you would probably be right if we hadn't done anything with OET. But we are making great strides and well along the way with the OET consolidation. So there's data, there's experiences, there's we are well along the way and have a significant amount of information about the overlapping, about the redundant functions, all those kinds of things. What I'm open to, certainly, is that the June 30th, 2012 deadline is too soon. And I would suggest that extending that by a year would make a lot of sense, given what we just heard from Assistant Commissioner Moe and Commissioner Showalter and Schuweiler, that's a commissioner in Dakota County. I got her name in my head. Given what they've just said, I think it would make sense to extend that deadline. We want to set people up for success. We want to make sure that this goes well. And in that time frame, to do the design, to do the benchmarking study, and to continue our efforts to make sure that this is implemented in a successful fashion.
And then just one quick follow-up. Senator Daley and Mr. Chair, Senator Daley, it seems to me then that the benchmarking study should be 6 months so that you have the information as quick as possible to look at the broader.
Absolutely.
Senator Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if we talked about this last week, Senator Daley. The question in my mind is, if we're going to take all of these functions and put them into admin, the question is, aren't some of these functions really more MMB related as opposed to admin, and is there short of an actual consolidation of admin and MMB, are there some functions that really belong more in MMB and some in admin? I don't know. And maybe Commissioner Showalter could shed light on that. I don't know, but
Senator Daley,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carlson, well, we certainly did talk about it last week. I'm sorry you weren't able to perhaps participate
here,
in the discussion the whole time. We did talk about it, right, Senator Sharon?
I was with there, Senator Carlson. Wherever you were, I was with you. Just kidding. Excuse me.
There's some latitude that we have here. The primary focus is certainly to move the control to Department of Administration, not necessarily the bodies and the assets. They can stay within the agency. However, Department of Administration and the agencies want to work it out. That's open. That's not a requirement, and it's not defined in the bill for a lot of reasons. Some of these things should be consolidated. Most of the functions that we're talking about, accounting, payroll, HR, should be consolidated. But there will be specific instances in certain agencies where it doesn't make sense. It's not the right thing to do. So by requiring every single agency to do it exactly the same, I don't think is the right way. We want to provide the latitude to the agencies and to the Department of Administration to do this in a way that makes sense.
Senator Rest?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Daley, I had raised a question with you a while ago, and I'm sorry I was not here for the initial discussion of this bill last week. But how does your bill work vis-a-vis public employee labor contracts.
Senator Daley.
Particularly with regard to the second section of your bill.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, as far as the specific contracts, I'm not a collective bargaining expert. I will tell you that the focus, the intention, is primarily if there are going to be cost savings through reduction in headcount, it would be through attrition. And so I've reached out to the executive director, the government relations personnel at AFSCME, at MAPE, and the engineers, and have had discussions. And when I was talking to Commissioner Kronk yesterday, I said, you know, my focus, my ambition, my desire is to bring in the employees, to have them participate in this initiative, in this effort. So many times I've heard from state employees, they've got great ideas and they want to make some changes, and it goes up to a certain point and it doesn't get to Commissioner Kronk and it doesn't get to me. Somewhere in between the top level and the bottom level, it falls down and it just doesn't get to us. So I'd like to incorporate the great ideas that they have and include them as part of the process. Absolutely. I don't know if that fully answers your question.
It doesn't. Mr. Chairman, Senator Daley, I am particularly concerned about lines 2.6 and 2.7, where an agency can choose to privatize their services rather than have them within the agency. That troubles me a lot, quite frankly.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, can you say the lines again?
2.6 and 2.7. And to that end as well, have you received support for this initiative, and have you had discussions with the governor's office?
And Senator Rest and Senator Daley, some of that, this conversation may be in the context of what you haven't yet proposed, but some wording that's in your amendment as well that kind of touches to that. So you may want to touch on that, Senator Daley.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Senator Rest, I am certainly open to addressing your concern about agency may choose to obtain these services from an outside vendor rather than from the commissioner. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly open to modifying that.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it looks like council is already moving, but it appears that Minnesota statute already allows agencies to go to outside vendors, and so we're not really, they would be making a choice between their current status and an outside vendor, or the commissioner and an outside vendor, if they were required to move. Is that a correct understanding, that the outside vendor choice is always available, and as part of this transition process, it's just noted that it's an availability?
Senator Benson, I was asking to get this looked up. It's titled 16B.37 as reorganization of agencies. If staff wants to give us some more background on that, now would be a good time. But,
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. I'm aware of that, but I think that what is being proposed here is such a huge overhaul that it's not just a matter of simple going to an outside vendor for a tiny little contract on something that perhaps can't be done within an agency. And I would be very concerned I understand that it can be done and this is just spelling it out, but I'm very uncomfortable with such a large scale privatizing effort. That's all. But,
Senator Reed.
You know, just the way it is.
Also, following up on Senator Rest's inquiry,
I'm wondering if this study includes anything on the impact to the employees of the agencies.
Senator Daley?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Eaton, the study, as in the benchmarking study that we would be embarking on, to my knowledge, no. Senator Bonoff?
Mr. Chair, Senator Eaton, the benchmarking study would be strictly a cost analysis of and look at the process of each of the various functions to compare them to best practice costs, functions in other states and other similar like organizations. So it wouldn't include those types of things. I think the only thing, though, as you said, the remainder of the money, which you've put in there, would be able to have some sort of comment, it sounds to me, from the consultant on the implementation phase, but not in the actual benchmarking study.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? Senator Daley, we have an amendment that's not been moved in discussion about the wording. Are you wanting to do something with this here?
Mr. Chairman, I, to be honest, I'd just like to have a little bit of discussion about the amendment itself.
Okay. Would you like to have the department come up and talk? Or?
Absolutely. When you're looking at the school district part, if the committee feels that that's a good direction to go in, I just would like to have a little bit of discussion to make sure that that's the direction we want to go in, and to make sure that when we look at state in the first paragraph, state agency back office functions, including human resources, payroll, finance, and procurement, that that's going to cover what we want. I guess I was thinking, just as I was reading this, that maybe do we need to be more specific and include accounting? Do we need to have fleet services? And instead of finance, maybe financial reporting, so that it's consistent with the language in the bill itself.
Excuse me. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Daley, always applaud the goal towards efficiency and effectiveness and using new technologies to get there. I have a question that you might be able to answer, or maybe the commissioner. It has to do with fleet services. Last year we passed Senate File 907 analytics language requiring that analytics be used in managing fleet services. The governor signed that by executive order, a master contract that includes analytic technology in management of fleet services. And I just am curious if there's any overlap here or any redundancy that we would need to be concerned about.
Senator
Daley. And particularly about fleet services.
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, I don't, from my understanding, there wouldn't be any overlap.
Is there anyone from the department that wanted to speak to this?
As they're approaching, Mr. Chairman, members, I'd like to propose a change to the A3 amendment, and that is to change the dates from January 15th, 2013 to September 1, 2012.
Okay, Senator Daley, you haven't offered the amendment yet, so if we get to that point, we can just offer it with that change.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, I'm Spencer Kronk, the commissioner for the Department of Administration. I wanted to specifically address Senator Nelson's question around fleet services. The contract that was implemented in December 2011 regarding data analytics, which included a service category around fleet services, is currently being looked at by both the Department of Administration and other state agencies that have significant fleets. We are a member of what the state has, which is called the Fleet Council. And I know within the last 2 weeks, they've actually brought in IBM as one of the potential vendors to provide some large-scale analytics services for the state's fleet. It's my understanding that, there's no contract that's been specifically developed with IBM for those services yet, but it's under investigation. It would be separate than what we're addressing here in terms of back office functions. That's certainly a service that the agencies provide, but I would be very reluctant to include it into a benchmarking study like this.
Thank you.
Commissioner, do you have any comments to the to the bill or the as yet to be offered amendment or to Senator Rest's concern?
Sorry, that was to me.
Yeah. Do you have any comments at all, sir?
Sure, Mr. Chair, members. Certainly, you know, we heard from the Department of Management and Budget around the SWIFT implementation, and this is a large-scale transformational project that the state is going through, and we're really in the thick of it, and it will be, as I said, another year till full implementation. So certainly the bill that's in front of you is putting the cart before the horse. We want to make sure that this benchmark study is being completed, done, and gives us a good set of data to work from to determine where are the best areas for other consolidation services. So as I stated at the last hearing last week, this administration certainly supports a benchmarking study to be done, and we've worked with the senator to bring that language forward to you today, but do not support the bill as itself. So I would actually recommend delete all and then just including the benchmarking study as a first step to move towards this shared service model.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. First of all, I was glad to hear that you are structuring the report so that there are specific recommendations for next steps. Let's presume that there are going to be next steps because, as is the nature of any organization, without review and discipline, there's going to be needed change. So, assuming we have necessary changes found, I'm not sure what the – please articulate for me the administration's disagreements with continuing to consolidate some government services. OET's moving forward nicely. SWIFT is just ahead of it. And I don't want to wait until they're completely done for us to restart. There are multiple phases to each of these implementations. We can start the beginning phases of a new implementation before we complete and declare success. So what are the specific objections to moving forward with back office consolidation?
Commissioner. Mr. Chair, Senator, certainly it's a capacity issue. There's no certain the objections to the concept of looking at shared services more efficiently. How can we provide better services to all state agencies in a more cost-effective manner? That's not the issue. I think you've seen numerous occasions that this administration is supportive of that, particularly with IT consolidation and then moving forward with the SWIFT implementation. We want to be smart about this. I mean, companies are now in conversation with us, large-scale Fortune 500 companies, about how they went through that process. And the first step is always a benchmarking study. And so I agree with you. We don't have to wait to do this benchmarking study, and we can certainly do it in an expeditious manner. But beyond that, we're not gonna presume the results of that study and say that this is what will happen after that's done. We want to make sure that we're having the data and analyzing that properly before we move forward.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Commissioner, because that was the concern I had. It seems like we're micromanaging what we're going to do once we have the study results with this bill. It would make more sense to me also to go forward with the study and then decide how to deal with it legislatively.
Senator Daley?
Mr. Chairman, members, my view of the bill is quite the opposite. It's not micromanaging. The feedback I've gotten is it's not detailed enough, and that comes really from the commissioner. I'd like to have more detail. We'd like to know specifically what the benchmarking study says, and so the way I'm looking at this is not, and as I take what he just said, we want to move forward. We know that there's going to be some benefits. The question is exactly what will the benchmarking study tell us? We don't know that yet. And that's why I'm leaving it open, so that once that study tells us where the greatest ROI is, then we can take those next steps and we can put accounting before procurement, because SWIFT implementation still working on the procurement phase, and they've already completed accounting and finance, or maybe it's payroll and HR that goes. So I don't think it's a question of if, it's a matter of prioritizing which of the functions should go first, which achieves the greatest return on that investment for the first implementation. And we can go forward, just as Senator Benson said, with the design phase and the benchmarking study, assessing where we are, and then when the SWIFT implementation and the OET are done, we've done the design, we've figured out what the priorities will be, then we can roll right into that implementation phase with some latitude. You know, maybe they need 6 more months because it's the end of the year and need to focus on ensuring that it's a successful year end so that it could start the 1st of July instead of the 1st of January of 2014 or the summer 2013, best case. That's why I'm leaving it open.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Daley, I'm wondering if, to help clarify this, you might be able to talk about line 1.10, which is, it appears to me, the only directive language in the bill, which says the commissioner shall enter into contracts for these back office services. But then it looks like lines 1.14 and 1.16 are permissive language. So it seems like you have allowed a great deal of flexibility there. It's permissive as far as assigning work to be completed at the Department of Admin by another agency, and it seems to be permissive as far as outside vendor contracts as well. Am I understanding your bill correctly?
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, yes, that is my understanding. That is my intent. The one thing I didn't mention again today was the service level agreements, and I just want to emphasize the importance of that. To each of the agencies, they want to make sure that as this changes, they still are receiving the same level of support and service and customer-centric focus. And this is really about our citizens. So it's a citizen-centric focus, internal customers, external customers, so that they receive, if it's within 4 hours or 12 hours, whatever that timeline is, a great level of service. So we want to work through all those service level agreements between and among agencies and to our citizens. So that's an important part of this.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Daley. With respect to what the commissioner had brought forward, I do like the idea of us pushing a little bit from the legislative side, but would we consider amending the language of the bill as it is to and I'm not suggesting a specific amendment, but the commissioner shall enter into contracts, et cetera, up to line 1.12, based on the recommendation of the benchmarking study referred to below. I feel like that would put things in order so that we acknowledge a benchmarking study has to be done, but then some action has to be taken based on that study. I've learned in my very short career here there are lots of studies, not necessarily a lot of action.
Mr. Chairman, I'm open to that.
Senator Carlson?
So just from a process point of view, I at some point I'd like to move the A3 amendment when that's appropriate. And
whatever you would like, Senator. Senator Carlson does have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Daley, if I read the, well, actually, this is probably to Commissioner Kronk. I guess if I was Commissioner Kronk, I'd be a little bit concerned about a benchmark study that doesn't get completed until potentially September 1st, according to a change in the language. And then all of a sudden by January, they have to have come up with a plan. I think that's a pretty short time frame. And I'm just wondering if we could relieve some of the angst on the commissioner's office to, if we're going to move this from September 15th, I'm sorry, we've moved up the benchmarking to September 1st, and I understand it probably can be done by then, but then maybe the commissioner could give us an idea of how much time might be necessary from a completion date of September 1, 2012 to a potential reorganizational plan, if you would.
hope I made that clear.
Sure. Mr. Members, Senator, just reiterating some earlier comments, I don't want to presuppose anything that would come from this benchmarking study, and so it'd be very difficult to legislatively mandate that a reorganization would occur as a result of it. I think it's our goal of this administration to ensure that any efficiencies that are seen from this study would be acted upon, but there's a massive effort, as we saw from both IT consolidation and from the SWIFT project, that goes into this. And so I would respectfully disagree with the author that this is flexible enough. I mean, there's a lot of duties that are transferred very quickly to the Department of Administration that has to enter into service level agreements. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen even in a multi-year project. This is a long-term adjustment for state agencies to undergo, and so we want to be very thoughtful about that. So it's still my recommendation to focus on the benchmarking study and then proceed from there.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, but Commissioner Kronk, if I, and maybe I'm just not reading this right, but it appeared to me that your recommendation based on the benchmarking might be, we're not doing anything. I mean, this isn't telling you that you have to consolidate anything if I read this right. You would be looking at the benchmarking and saying, you know what, that does make sense. We could move this function. We're not going to move that function. So I guess I'm not anticipating that we necessarily are going to have some wholesale change, which is going to be up to your department to look at the benchmarking. And so, I mean, you could choose by January 15th or some later date, if we move that back a little bit, to say no change. Is that correct, or did I read that wrong?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Daley.
When I started out, my initial thought was to move the effective date instead of July 1st, 2012 to July 1st, 2013. Because I do understand that that's an incredibly quick timeline, and that is not enough time. If we haven't done the benchmark study by then, it just doesn't make any sense. So that's 4, 6, that's 10 months after the benchmarking study. And if that's not enough time, you know, we can, I certainly look forward to further discussions with the governor's office, with Commissioner Kronk, to come up with a timeline. If 10 months isn't enough, what is the right timeline?
Senator Carlson.
Nelson. Thank you.
Sorry.
Senator Nenow. Senator Carlson. I agree with, actually, this is a great discussion around this table today, and I agree with Senator Benson's suggestion that the benchmarking study, that amendment might be incorporated as far as the contracts in accordance to what the benchmark study shows. So I think that's important. But on the timeline piece, I'm just wondering if I understand the commissioner's concern about implementation and not knowing how long the implementation calendar would be, since you don't know what you're implementing. I do understand that. However, I just wonder if we might be confusing analysis of the benchmark study and implementation. And so maybe we need two different timelines. I don't think it would take 6 months to analyze the benchmark study to determine what things have a good ROI and we should move on in implementation. So I might suggest, Senator Daley, that we look at a couple different timelines. One for the department to respond to the benchmark study, to analyze it, and to determine how to go forward, and then maybe a second, more flexible timeline as far as implementation, depending upon what we find in the study.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And let me just state, I am reticent to vote to appropriate money for a study without some commitment that the study will be used for the purposes it's being drafted. And that is why I'm pushing, frankly. There are many stages, as you, Commissioner Kronk, know far better than I do. There are many stages to any project. And whatever language we need to have you be comfortable with, you get the benchmark study, and you choose those things that are most effective, a commitment that you'll choose those things that are most effective to implement, or not implement, to plan implement and execute, I'm open to that, and I would ask Senator Daley to be open to that as well. But appropriating money without a commitment that positive results are going to be acted on, if it says, no, everything is running as efficiently as it possibly can, then it would be foolish for us to demand that you change it. If, on the other hand, there are recommendations, I would expect that if we spent the money, they would at least be part of a plan moving forward.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I think I'm thinking in line with both Senator Nelson and Senator Benson. But I want to preempt what I'm going to say to go back to what Senator Rest is raising about what is the meaning of Minnesota Statutes 16B.035. I need to understand more clearly what the limitations are around privatization or contract sending at some point. We don't have to do that now, but I don't think that we have adequately understood what the reference to that section does in terms of the protections or the loosening of protections for employees. I need to understand that and be deliberate about what I'm doing rather than just guessing. So before we go back to that, though.
Senator Sharon, it's also, I'm concerned about lines 116 through 118.
Right.
It does not make any reference to any
to that. Right. It's outside vendor language. So we need to, at some point, go back and really understand what we're saying there and its implications so that if you vote for that without some limitations, that you understand what you're doing. But my question is, back to what I think Senator Nelson was saying, could we add, or I would ask the commissioner, in regard to your concern, would language in here that, in my understanding of the term workflow plan, would lay out, as the commissioner did, about in procurement is in phase two, that's in the fall of 2012, and then this procurement is later, and then this, that if there was language that indicated that the next step before entering into contracts would be that you would, within a certain time frame, take the outcomes of the benchmark study and create a workflow plan for the implementation of the recommendations that emerge from that benchmark study. It all responds to Senator Benson's concern, which I share, that we not just simply do the study and then not move forward. I appreciate when I listen to the amount of work that was being done by our employees and the overtime and the dedication that they're doing to this with all the abuse that they're getting about whether or not they're hardworking employees. I think we need to hear that and understand what it is that you're saying here. But with Senator Daley's support, can we add language that says that the next step after the benchmark study is a workflow plan that has to be created and returned to us by a set date so that we know that it's moving forward, and then action based on the workflow plan is the contracting is based on that workflow plan.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Senator, I would certainly be open to that if it was included as part of the benchmarking amendment that the senator provided. Again, my recommendation is to do a delete all and focus on the study first. I think it's really important that we know what we're getting into, and then per the senator's recommendation to really have a plan for going forward. The language as it is, though, is still concerning to me because it transfers a lot of duties, responsibilities, staff, just like it did for IT consolidation, to the Department of Administration in short order. And the service level agreements that would have to be entered into in short order are very difficult to manage quickly. I was going to invite my colleagues, Commissioner Showalter, to just describe a little bit about the process that IT has gone through in terms of developing their service level agreements. And so I really want to keep the focus on the study, and, you know, we can certainly report back on recommendations that we would be pursuing as a result of the study, but the language around consolidating these functions into the Department of Administration so quickly is concerning.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Daley.
I would like to, so that we can change the focus of the conversation about the short order nature of things, I'd like to make a motion to change the effective date from July 1st, 2012 to July 1st, 2013, to extend this by 1 year.
Senator Daley, are you speaking to the bill or to the amendment?
To the bill.
And which lines are you wanting to make that change?
1.19 and 2.14.
So Senator Daley moved.
This is the committee engrossment that I'm looking at.
Okay. On the committee engrossment of Senate File 933, Senator Daley moves to amend the date to 2013 on lines 1.19 and 2.14. Is that correct, Senator Daley?
It is, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Benson.
And Mr. Chair, to that amendment, Senator Daley on line 2.12, does that also need a change in date?
To September 1st.
Senator Daley?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Benson, yes. Oral amendment to change January 15th, 2013 to September 1, 2012.
Senator Daley incorporates that into his previous motion. And it's September 1, which year?
2012.
Isn't that when the benchmark is due?
Yeah. Wait a second.
You do a plan.
I don't understand how they would organize submit their organization orders before they even have the report. So that doesn't take that date. Moving that date up does not make sense to me. I think you want the money back.
Yeah. That's the same date as the benchmark.
Senator Daley, we're trying to think if it needs to go the other direction, yep, instead of
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson. And Senator Daley, in the bill as drafted, line 2.14 gives us July 1st, 2012, and line 2.19 gives us 6 months and 14 days after that. Do we perhaps just want to change that to January 15th, 2014? Does that make more sense?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Benson, I'm open for discussion. What the committee feels is the appropriate timeline for that, I'm certainly open to that.
And just for clarification, Senator Benson, you referenced the line 2.19?
2.12, I apologize.
Okay. And you're talking about 2014. And that
works, right?
2014 works.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my oral amendment to change 2.12.
I think I have your oral amendment for you.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Daley moves to amend line 1.19, strike 2012, and insert 2013. Do the same on line 2.14. And on line 2.12, strike January 15th, 2013, insert September 1st, 2014. And that is your motion to amend the committee engrossment of Senate File 933. Correct, Senator Daley?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Senator Daley, we got just a few minutes here and we got to wrap up. Senator Sharon?
Well, I'm just thinking about how to make the bill meet what I think the majority of the committee would like to see, which is that the study be responsive to some sort of action if the study demonstrates that it's makes sense to do. And so I'm trying to figure out how to be responsive to what the commissioner is saying without losing what it is that the senator is trying to achieve in this. So I'm looking closer at all this, and now I see something that I don't understand what it means. And so I'm asking you, Senator, or someone to clarify that the commissioner on lines 2.10 to 2.12, it says the commissioner of administration must submit and file reorganization orders. I don't know what these what are reorganization orders as set forth in these statutes. What are we asking the commissioner to do under that statement? And perhaps the commissioner knows. If he could speak to that, or the Senate counsel would be fine.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sharon, and members, in current law, 16B.37 describes a process for reorganization of agencies. And part of that process is for the Department of Admin to generate reorganization orders, which are submitted to the chairs of the proper committees in the House and the Senate, and also a filing with the Secretary of State. And then by January 15th of each year, the Department of Admin generates a bill that puts into statute whatever has been necessary from the reorganization orders.
Okay. Is that helpful,
Thank you.
Senator?
Yes, thank you very much. So I'm assuming that because our time is, how will you proceed at this time? Because I think there's still more work that we're wanting to do on the bill.
Probably the best thing to do, Senator Daley, is lay this over again, come back and revisit this. We started a little late, and then our SWIFT overview went about twice as long as we were anticipating, which is a good thing, actually. And I thought we'd have a chance to work through more of this, but we're bumping up against other meetings, and we need to let people get to where they need to get to. But Senator Benson.
Mr. Chair, is there any productivity in moving the A3 amendment so that we're talking about one item?
Senator Daley, if you'd like to do that, we have just a couple minutes. You can certainly take care of that business if you'd like to do that.
I would like to move the A3 amendment.
Okay. Senator Daley, you had talked about incorporating some date changes in the A3 amendment, the January 15th, 2013 date, changing that to September 1st, 2012.
2014 to align. No, 2012 for the benchmarking study. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And do you want to incorporate that date change?
Mr. Chairman, I do, yes.
Okay. So that's lines 1.1 and lines 1.16, changing both of those January 15th dates to September 1st, 2012.
So we'll call this the A4. Yes,
sure, we'll call it the A4. I'm listening to counsel here. So Senator Daley offers that amendment. Senator Sharon?
Is there a relationship between the date that's listed on the A4, now A4, line 1.10? Would we be changing that date as well?
1.10 and 1.16.
Thank you.
Yes. Those dates are now September 1st, 2012, as offered by Senator Daley. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. All right, Senator Daley, it is now 10:28 and a half, and we need to let people get to where they're going. Unless there's any final comments, we will adjourn. Seeing none, the committee is adjourned.